Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick coming up in 40 minutes. I was right last night. I UNC was the underdog. I took them. I got bleeped from it by Itty Bitty Fitty. And the truth prevailed. So a continued and everlasting by Goma to Itty Bitty Fitty. In the meantime, while UNC gets the win last night, we also saw the Hornets in what was an incredibly competitive game, but ultimately just not enough as they fell 127 to 125 to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. I'm going to continue to come back to that performance by LaMelo. That was one of the first times. Not only was he red hot early on, they had their best first quarter in a minute, 41 points in the first quarter.
Threes raining down from the heavens.
And I made the joke earlier. When I had seen that LaMelo Ball and Kelly Oubre had combined for 9 three-pointers and they were only up 8 midway through the third quarter, I thought, oh, this isn't going to go well. That is not a sustainable model.
They shot 58% from 3, did the Hornets, in the first quarter.
So they were pretty good, but they ended up losing. But for me, one of the biggest things in this game, LaMelo's next evolution of him as a player is going to be, because this is where the true greats are, right? Giannis. Giannis, when it mattered most, when they needed a bucket, Giannis had the ball in his hand, put it in for the 2 points, and ended up winning the game.
Yep.
I saw LeBron do this for 18 years.
Kevin Durant does this all the time.
Kevin Durant does this. Yeah.
Trae Young started doing more of this the last couple seasons.
He rode that to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. So it is one example of this. But LaMelo Ball getting the ball and taking that fall away three for the game tying three was just a nice moment to see. Because that is where he'll be. That's where he's going to need to be for most of his career to maximize his time in Charlotte, is taking and making shots like that more often than not. I loved that they empowered him in that situation.
See, and we do need to say that that was a career high for LaMelo Ball last night, 36 points. He had it raining down from everywhere. He ended up being just plus 2 on the night. A lot of turnovers, especially in the fourth quarter. I think he had 3 in the fourth to 9 assists. However, they needed all of those 36 buckets. He was letting it rip from everywhere, and you could see the confidence. He's pulling up from logos. Every once in a while, he'll do a heat check, but last night, he had every right to. To bring it to where you are, though, about moving forward. Here's my hope. My hope is that LaMelo Ball becomes the second, maybe even third, best scorer on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he's going to be the number one facilitator. But I'd love for them to go get somebody that's just a walking bucket. Somebody like a Bradley Beal just comes to mind.
So there's a few different ways of looking at this. Because I kind of like where you are. Inevitably, you'd like to get to a point, especially a point we've never been here in Charlotte. Like, they had Zoe, and they had Dell, and they had LJ. They had two superstar caliber players. But that was at the beginning of it. You'd love to have LaMelo be joined this year, next year, with a guy who's in his prime superstar.
Devin Booker is another example.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
It won't be Book, but somebody that can get a bucket, and I wish you would let the cat go.
But the thing that I think is really important, there's this weird distinction that people make with guys like Magic Johnson and LeBron versus a guy like Michael. And all three are insanely great players.
Of course.
But for a minute, and I don't know it feels this way anyways, but especially with LeBron, oh, well, he's a pass-first guy.
He's a facilitator first.
And yeah. But I think we think about these guys all wrong. LeBron was a pass-first guy for the first 46 minutes of the game, for the first 44 minutes of the game. And then the final 4 minutes of the game, if they needed buckets or if they needed somebody to put it on their shoulders.
Sure. He rose to the occasion.
He rose to the occasion. Yeah. That's what I think LaMelo can be.
But see, right now, from a clutch standpoint, when the game is tight, who always Terry Rozier has carved out a niche as right now today. Now, he didn't do it last night, but more often than not since Terry has been here, he's been that guy.
Well, no, and I think that is a very valuable placeholder you have there. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is what got the mojo working last night, is to see LaMelo in that moment with 6 seconds to spare. And again, I don't know that happens every time because he can be a little bit streaky with a three-point shot. But to see us get to the moment where when you needed a bucket to continue that game, to have a chance to get a stop on the next stop, he made that shot. And going forward, I think that is who LaMelo can be. I think LaMelo can be the guy. And listen, sometimes he is going to pass it. LeBron took over games at the end of games and still passed it at points.
Mike passed it. A lot of great scorers have passed the ball. Make the right basketball
Giannis,
play.
Giannis has at points kicked it out to
in
other
the finals
dudes.
Last year, how many times did Chris Middleton, who bailed him out last night. So before nice the Giannis three. Two, Chris Middleton knocked down the three. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton did that in the finals as well. There's no shame in clutch basketball getting the ball to the open man or to another star to knock down a shot.
But when we've talked about the development of LaMelo Ball, because I think something we need to just get better at, and this is when I say we, I mean small market fan bases, mid-market fan bases who have been traumatized by bad organizations, bad decisions, and bad economics, and bad talent distribution. And that's 100% what Charlotte has been. This is a great basketball town.
No doubt.
We're already starting to get the vibe back at the Spectrum Center, and they haven't won a playoff game with this team yet. There's real belief in this town, and you can see it in the way people talk about this team. But I say all of that to say, I think we can get better at just basking in the glow of LaMelo, but the shot that I saw last night, I didn't expect to still see that for a minute. That opportunity coming LaMelo's way. And again, some of it was situational. But like to see, 23 games into this season, in that moment against that team, I think that speaks a lot about the faith this team is starting to have in him, and rightfully so. In his last 8 games, mm-hmm. LaMelo's averaging 22.5 points per game. He's averaging 9.8 assists per game. And he's averaging 9 rebounds per game. Much like last year, where those first 10 games, it was whoop, 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 it was all over the place. I don't know why they made those sound effects.
I don't know what
last
that meant.
Last year,
either.
His rookie year, the first 10 to 15 games, when he was off the bench, he was up and down. And then when he got in the starting lineup, that kid took off. Offensively, he took off. Mm-hmm. This year, he had great moments to start the season. He also had a couple of really low peaks. He's starting to take off again in terms of what he's giving them on any given night. Let's keep paying attention to that because last night was special, and I think it's a part of something real that he's been doing here recently.
I only take issue with one aspect. When we talk about the Hornets,
focus on all the things we agree on.
You and I have just a smidge of a difference on our expectations for Hornets as it pertains to Melo.
Mm-hmm.
I think you anticipate he's going to teeter into superstardom a little prematurely from what I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. But it's all about you.
So clearly his trajectory is, all right, rookie of the year. He's coming out the gate now. He's rolling. Had a career night last night. Had a signature moment last night. That's dope. But I look across the floor, and like when the game got tight and it got down to the final couple minutes, the thought I kept having was, okay, they've got 2 All-Stars on the floor and a former third one in Drew Holiday. The Hornets don't have a single All-Star on the floor. That's not fair. Gordon Hayward. So I'm like, okay, they've been together. Certainly Middleton and Giannis. So I'm like, we don't have anybody that's going to stop Giannis. But it made me think about LaMelo and Giannis. And so when LaMelo responded and then Giannis came back, watching Giannis's development makes me think about what LaMelo will be 8 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily putting those expectations on him now. 8 years ago, and you know, Giannis was different. He wasn't a third overall pick, but he was still the first rounder. He was Giannis was, I think, the 14th pick.
No, he was the 15th. He wasn't a lottery. He was either 15th or 16th.
All right, so he was outside the lottery. Fine. the expectations are different based on where they were taken.
Mm-hmm.
But look how far Giannis has come.
I mean,
in a small market,
mm-hmm.
in a place that doesn't typically attract a ton of tier one free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me hope that in time, LaMelo can do some of the Giannis types of things.
I mean, I don't think LaMelo has the athletic profile
of
Giannis.
Oh, no, they're different. Yeah, different players. I'm talking about the situation.
But it's less about the expectations. With, like, I'm not saying be a superstar now. I'm not saying LaMelo should take every one of those shots going forward. Nor should we expect him to, and to make them all this year. But I didn't expect him to take any of those shots this year. I expected it to be Terry Rozier. I expected it to be Gordon. I expected it, I mean, even PJ, who's been a really good three-point shooter in his career.
PJ had it going early last night, too.
And I expected it to be a little bit more offensive firepower by committee. Again, the death by a thousand paper cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe this is the last time we'll see LaMelo take that three-point shot to try and tie the game or to win the game, the game-winning shot. Maybe this is the last one we'll see of him in for 2 months. But it just struck me as I think everybody, you know, Paul Biancardi was on the station yesterday talking about what is the next step for LaMelo, right? That was one of the things he was asked. It's a question we've asked incessantly. And we put a lot of focus on the defensive side of the ball. We've put a lot of focus on the three levels of scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
body filling out.
But I think in terms of moments, that is the moment. And when he starts to hit those shots or get those shots and then hit them, more often than not, that'll be the moment where he's not just an Instagram superstar. When he's not just a superstar because he's a really flashy and fun player to watch, when he's not just, I'm going to score 36 in this game and 15 in this game, but when he can do that consistently, that's when LaMelo will be, in my opinion, his best self alongside the other parts we've talked about.
So that's the sexy part. Now let's get down into what really separates great players.
The granny panty parts of this?
The 16 points. Love that. It was, I mean, from a fourth quarter standpoint, 16 for Melo, led all scores. Cool. 4 or 5 from 3, 6 or 7 from the field. Dope. But I come over here and go, if you think about the actual play-by-play, each trip on the offensive end of the floor, there were a couple moments that Melo, quite frankly, could have cost his team an opportunity. Now, he was not alone in that, but I'm putting it this way. In the fourth quarter, the Hornets had 3 turnovers. LaMelo had all 3
mm-hmm.
to 1 assist. Picking and choosing your spots when you're going to... It's not enough just to be superstar in that moment, offensively knocking down a shot. You've got to also set up other people to be successful.
I think that's fair. What I'll say is, I saw LeBron, even in his second stint in Cleveland, have those games where in the fourth quarter he had the turnover, where he had a turnover laden game.
But in the second stint in Cleveland, he had already what?
Well, no.
In multiple moments in the postseason, he had already demonstrated,
mm-hmm.
I don't turn the ball over in those crucial moments.
Well, but that's fair. But I think in what you're talking about, I think that's a lot to ask of a guy that this is the first time I can remember him getting the game winning, game tying shot. And feeling comfortable about him taking that.
All right, so, let's go back to
the reality is, you have said, you know, the expectations versus now thing. I think what you just described is going to be, I think that's going to be the line he has to walk in his entire career. I think that's a much more refined part of his game than he's going to take the shots at the end of the game. I think that's something you can start getting now.
You're worried about the shot. I'm worried about the execution fundamentally. Let's come back to the Boston game, overtime game here. It's the end of regulation over at the Spectrum Center. LaMelo Ball is inbounding the ball. He's trying to get the ball to Gordon Hayward. That was a wasted opportunity. Bad pass, miscommunication, ball goes out of bounds, turnover, Celtics get it. It's those type of plays that I personally value as much as I do as a dope 3 falling out of bounds. I need those other plays as well.
So you're not living with them until he wins a championship?
No, I embrace them, but I keep them in context of what they are.
704-570-9610. I do think, and the question here is, how much stock are you putting into the last 8 games of LaMelo Ball? And do you trust LaMelo with that shot at the end of the game? Because I'm still learning to trust that because he's so young. I think somebody on the text line talked about, let him grow into these situations. That's more what I'm about. I'm excited at the idea that he's starting to get those moments to grow into. He's going to miss some. He's going to have a turnover here or there.
I know he's
going to cost him that game.
Somebody on the text line, Fleet, he's 20. I understand. That's why I'm not putting the superstar tag on him prematurely.
But that is why I'm excited. I'm excited that we're here. I didn't, when they drafted him a year ago, I didn't think we'd be here. I didn't want him a year ago. And now I've gone from, I didn't want LaMelo Ball to, oh my God, can you believe that this kid against the reigning NBA champions, against the best player in the NBA, took and made a shot to prolong that game and give you a chance to win it within 6 seconds of the final whistle. That's more where I am. Not trying to hype up where he is or take it overboard of where he really is. How much stock are you putting into LaMelo's big shot last night, and how comfortable are you with him taking that shot? Most nights, we do have to get into the Taysom Hill Express next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, be the fifth caller right now at 704-570-9610, and you'll win a pair of tickets to the ACC Championship game between Pitt and Wake this weekend in Charlotte, courtesy of Sports Radio FNZ. Good luck from Sports Radio FNZ. I hope you guys get to enjoy that game, but in the meantime, before we get to the ACC Championship game, oh boy, howdy, we have a matchup of slappies tonight on Thursday Night Football. There is Dallas.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Yeah? What are we whoa-ing?
I need you to show some, your word, modicum
mm-hmm.
of respect when you address.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboys have lost two straight games.
They've what?
They've lost two straight games.
I got you.
And are clinging to a NFC East lead, and they're playing against...
Are we in the playoffs?
The fourth losers of four straight, New Orleans Saints, and super slappy Taysom Hill tonight.
Taysom Hill is starting tonight. I mentioned earlier, Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, and Alvin Kamara, two starting tackles, and obviously the starting running back out. Michael Thomas, we know, has been out all year.
Dallas is without Mike McCarthy.
Amari Cooper is activated off of COVID.
He's
missed the last two games.
They have some other COVID concerns going on.
There'll be like 11,000 coaches that won't be out there tonight. Dallas favored by 6 in New Orleans tonight.
I do think Dallas is going to win. I was a little bit surprised to see that the line was 6 points in the favor of Dallas.
6 shocked me too.
That was a little bit. But then again, I thought about it. I mean, Dallas is juggling between Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. And that now they're going to be out with Alvin Kamara, and that's really been their hope offensively.
Now, to be fair, from a defensive line standpoint, no DeMarcus Lawrence. We just had another defensive lineman that is being suspended. He won't be there tonight. Hill is the gentleman's last name. Tristan Hill. I mentioned Randy Gregory. He's out with a calf. So Dallas is dealing. They're banged up, man.
I think the Saints are going to lose this game. I think the Saints are in the great conversation about, because this is the perfect year to do pretender or contender in the NFC. There's a lot of teams just mired, of which the Carolina Panthers are one, to be fair. But if you look after San Francisco, who right now is the sixth seed, Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta, New Orleans, Philly, and Carolina are all 5-6 or 5-7. And oh, beyond that, still in the hunt for that final wild card spot is 4-7 New York Giants and 4-7 Chicago Bears.
No, they're out. No. They're done.
They're literally one game off.
No, they're done.
How are they done if they are one game off the final spot?
When the networks put up the graphics of who's in the hunt, the cutoff is the Carolina Panthers, currently at the 12th spot.
Yeah, because there's a lot of teams. I don't think the Panthers are in a dramatically better situation than the Giants or the Bears.
Well, if you want to be technical.
Nor do I think the Falcons or the Saints.
Nobody, and somehow including the 0-10-1 Lions, have technically been disqualified from playoff contention. So it is theoretically possible every team in the NFC can get in.
I was just looking
at this moment.
I was looking at the standings right now. Detroit's winning percentage is 0.045.
Yeah.
Because of their tie, the 0-10-1 Lions.
Yeah.
I'll go back on it again. I think Dallas is going to win. I think Dallas, you mentioned the injuries. They've had a rough couple weeks here. But I feel like this is similar to Tampa Bay's two-game stutter that they had before they got back to winning the last two games. Mm-hmm. That early November stutter for Tampa Bay.
They got beat by Washington one of those games.
I don't think Dallas, I think when all is said and done, Dallas will have won at least 10 games. And I think tonight's going to be one of those games. I think the Saints are done, and I think the Falcons, and I think the NFC South is going to have one team represented in the playoffs this week, or this year. And I think it's going to be Tampa Bay, and that's it.
You could be right. From a Carolina Panthers standpoint, here's what you need. You need Dallas to do this tonight. And then you got to go down there in that building that Dallas is going to play in tonight, that Caesars Superdome, and you got to go beat the Saints here in a few weeks. You won't, because right now, the Carolina Panthers would own just the tiebreaker over the Saints, because we beat them in week two. Philly's in front of Carolina and Atlanta, right? You're beating New Orleans and Atlanta. Minnesota's right there, and currently sitting in the seventh spot is Washington. So the Panthers are going to need some help, along with Matt Rhule galvanizing his locker room and getting this thing back on track.
Is it possible we're rooting for a Taylor Heinicke injury?
You know, you never root for a man to get hurt.
I don't know. I mean, Washington, Minnesota, they've got the tiebreakers over you.
Philly.
Right? Like, it's not great.
And then right behind you, to your point, are the Giants.
Who also you did not win against. And okay, so you've got the Saints, but you play the Saints again. Mm-hmm. They could win that.
Play Atlanta again.
You play Atlanta again. Do you think the Saints are pretenders or contenders?
As banged up as they are right now, and with their quarterback situation, no. I don't think the Saints are going to make a wild card spot.
They've lost to the Falcons.
They lost four games in a row.
They lost to the Titans, and that was without Derrick Henry. They've lost to the Eagles, and not just lost to the Eagles. They got embarrassed by the Eagles.
That's 21 points. They got smashed.
And they were the get-back game for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm. Buffalo smashed them, too, 31-6.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think when I first saw the Dallas line, 6 points, the Dallas was a favorite, I was a little bit surprised. The more I've thought about it, Dallas should smash New Orleans. And it would not surprise me. Like the Taysom Hill move feels like a desperation.
That's what it is. This is their Cam Newton.
Thank you. Yes, 100%. That's precisely what this is.
Come save the day and just make some plays.
Because you know why? Trevor Siemian threw 173 pass attempts before you turned to Taysom Hill. Anybody on listening to this station knew that Trevor Siemian was a borderline NFL. When I say borderline, I mean borderline that he should be on a roster, mm-hmm. given what he's done. He's done enough that he proves he can have a game, but he's done most of what he's done. You don't feel comfortable turning over to. It took 5 games before they decided to go to the guy that they just gave. That it's either between $44 and $94 million contract extension, Taysom Hill.
Now, here's the crazy part. Even if New Orleans loses tonight, look at their upcoming schedule. At Jets, winnable game. At Bucks, they'll take a L, even though they beat Tampa earlier this year. A home game versus the Dolphins in that stadium down there. You know what that is. Panthers come the next week right after the Dolphins, and then at the Falcons. Even if they lose tonight, just how freaky this NFC has been. The NFC this year is the coastal of the ACC. Like, anything can happen. You
who's
just
Clemson?
Don't know. That's the Atlantic.
Seattle?
That's the Atlantic. They're on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So, now, here's something that's fun. It's completely off topic, kind of, but I think it's interesting. Itty bitty fitty. You ready for this? There's a world where the Saints don't make the playoffs. It's ugly. And quite frankly, Sean Payton is like, yeah, New Orleans, I'm out.
You better be in Dallas.
And then the thought
next
is,
September.
He comes to Dallas and they bump McCarthy and they bring in Sean Payton. So I've heard that out there.
So Mike McCarthy is not coaching out of a protest because he knows if he beats Sean Payton, he's more likely to get murked after a
so
win.
He wants Sean Payton to beat him tonight so that he can keep his gig.
So I know we are talking about Thursday night football and Taysom Hill is the starter. And if Kamara was in this game, I'd actually give them a chance because you can run basically the Wildcat. And for a couple games last year, that's what New Orleans did before Drew Brees came back and finished off his career.
I need to see last week their starting lineup. Go ahead, I'm listening.
But let's bring this to a Carolina thing. New Orleans is it half a game? It's a half a game ahead of Carolina in the standings. Atlanta is as well. Is it more likely when these two teams meet in week 17 in Carolina, is it more likely that these two teams are battling for a playoff spot, meaning a wild card spot, both teams? So it's not one or the other. It's both teams battling for a playoff spot or both teams battling for the right to draft their next quarterback in a higher draft position.
It's the latter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have faith that Matt Rhule is going to somehow. I saw him last year off a bye. He didn't win. I saw what December football and January football looked like last year. They won one game in the last 4 weeks. I can't then, based on all the football we've seen up until this point, act like they're just going to find this magical elixir. It's going to get worse in some spots. And so then it comes down. Matt Rhule has already told us what he's going to do. If they get in a scenario where they've got to win a game with essentially nothing to play for, he's already told you. He did it against Washington last year. They're going to try and win the game.
You think Tepper will step in this year? I would imagine Tepper.
I don't know.
I would imagine Tepper's not happy. I don't know, Dave. I know what Dave has said about himself as a fan, half fan, half owner. We'll throw this out to you guys. Again, Dallas and New Orleans in New Orleans tonight, Thursday Night Football. Taysom Hill starting for New Orleans. Mike McCarthy out for Dallas here. But as we look at where the Saints are, they are 10th in the NFC. The Panthers are 12th in the NFC. When these two teams play with 2 weeks to go, week 17, second to last game, penultimate game, are they playing? Is it more likely that both teams are playing for the last wild card spot, or is it more likely that they're playing for a top five pick? I will go with you. There's a big part of me, man, that remains hopeful. The bye week works wonders. Guys get away, right? Maybe J.C. Horn comes back a little bit, right? Maybe a couple of the other, even though you just lost McCaffrey, even though you just lost, Dante, maybe you get a little bit healthier, right? Maybe you finally turn to Brady Christensen and Deontay Brown. Maybe this Miami loss makes Matt Rhule hold veterans accountable the way he holds rookies accountable for all the mistakes they make. Maybe. I want to cling to that hope, and I'm sure that's something we'll get into before the Panthers play next. But I fundamentally don't trust Matt Rhule.
No, how could you?
And I don't trust his coaching staff.
No, how could you?
And so on the Panthers side of things, the coaching is a bigger question to me than the players. That's where we've gotten.
Hold on right there. The players, I hold the coaches accountable. But at the end of the day, the players got to go out there and execute and make the plays.
I got you. I think the point was, in December, experience matters and coaching matters.
But the players matter more than the coaching.
I don't think the Panthers have it on their side to truly get back into it. They might be in the wild card hunt because the middle of the NFC continues to bleep all over itself. But I'll go one step further. Sean Payton's a great head coach.
That he is. And play
Hall
caller.
Hall of Famer. And great play caller.
Yep.
They don't have a whisper's chance in hell. They don't have the quarterback. They're starting to lose guys. You mentioned all the injuries. And I think they're starting to see that this is the other side of the Drew Brees conundrum. And in fairness, they lost Jameis Winston,
right,
to be fair.
You didn't think Jameis was going to go down.
So I think it's much more likely that we're talking about that game. You know what that game's going to be? That game's going to be Washington last year.
That's what I just said.
You did?
I said that like 3 minutes ago.
What a good point. You should have made that right before I made it, though. 704-570-9610.
You're going to hit a bit of 50,
man. The question here is, with Thursday Night Football going on, Dallas versus the Saints in New Orleans, what is more likely when Carolina and New Orleans meet up for the second to the penultimate game of the season for both teams? What's more likely? They're both battling for the last wild card spot, or they're both battling for a top five pick, top 10 pick. We got the Mark Spain Real Estate and more next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Big thanks to our friends, Brennan and Mark, for joining us on today's show. Brennan Marks, that was our one friend that joined us on today's show. But I like him so much that I consider him friends, right? I'm just trying to make up for an error that I made because I thought we had more than one guest today.
Especially when he agrees with me.
Bygoma to you. That was unnecessary.
Don't deserve that.
That was unnecessary. It has been a show of bygomas.
Oh, we issued that a lot, and I don't think we're done.
We're probably not. Listen, tomorrow's Friday. We could have even more bygomas.
Oh, yeah.
To issue. The cat's already kind of out of the bag. I was looking for something other than Thursday Night Football to go ahead and pick for the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick. I was really looking for something. I looked at college basketball. Not great, Bob.
Conference play tonight? Or that must be tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing good in the ACC tonight. I looked in the NHL.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea what's going on there. I would not do that justice. I looked and remembered that tomorrow was the first time we're going to see a conference title game. So, my Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick, and this one's tough because I usually, lines this big, with so many different things going on, I usually stay away from, or I'll just take the points in the team that I don't think is going to win, but I'll take the points. Dallas is a 6-point favorite over the Saints on the road. I'm going to have to lay the points. I think Dallas is going to beat down on New Orleans tonight. I don't think Taysom Hill is going to be this magic pill that kind of helps him out. The only real way that I can see this game being close is if they do miss Mike McCarthy.
And the other coaches. They're like 7 coaches.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dak Prescott's that dude. Dallas is the better team.
Dallas has lost 2 in a row.
I think Dallas's 2-game schneid is less real than the 4-game schneid of New Orleans. I think New Orleans' 4-game schneid is they just don't have enough dudes. And right now, I think good teams are going to start peaking in December. I think Dallas is a good team. I don't feel the same way about New Orleans. I'll lay that 6 points.
I will take Dallas in the points as well.
You mean you'll lay the points and take Dallas?
I said I'll take Dallas in the points.
Well, no, if you took the points, you'd take the Saints.
That's the way I say it. I'm taking Dallas to win by 6 or more.
Oh, okay.
Is everybody okay here?
I know. Well, now that you've said it properly, I understand.
No, you mean now that I spoke English? You guys, man.
You've got to talk correct betting verbiage.
I would like to point out that I have just, even though I am the crown D on the show, somehow itty bitty fitty, simply because he laughs at me being a D, is now it's a you guys thing. He's never really.
He's literally like Hacksaw. He agrees with everything you says unless it's at one of his teams.
So
that's the only difference.
So, I mean, you know, democratic rules, all I'm saying.
That was a terrible analysis.
Yeah, it wasn't great. All right, guys, that does it for the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick. But let's go ahead and get into it, Stan. And you guys can get in on this as well. It's time for What You're Burning On. 704-570-9610. If you have something to burn on, it can be pretty much anything in sports or entertainment.
Is Nick OCD? Yes, to the 704 on the text line.
How am I OCD? Yeah, you know me. Stan, what you burning on?
Until Oklahoma fills the position. And I don't care who has a bleeping blue check mark on Twitter. Until the Oklahoma job is filled, there's a chance Matt Rhule might take it.
Is that what you're rooting for?
Yes.
So the latest on this, by the way.
Yes.
Bruce Feldman yesterday said, even though people keep trying to put his name in conjunction with the Oklahoma job, he's heard that's not a possibility. We also had Stephen Godfrey, who are trying to get on the show tomorrow, who is a reporter, saying that even though Matt Rhule's name has been uttered around jobs in college, he's hearing Matt Rhule's not likely to Bobby Petrino,
and
the Carolina Panthers.
Until I hear Matt Rhule definitively decline the opportunity like he did with USC and when he was being mentioned with LSU, until I hear Matt Rhule say it's not happening.
See,
in the back of my mind, I can have entertaining thoughts.
As the dundada of objectivity on the station, I've got to say, it's not what I want. It's what I think will happen. The second Notre Dame didn't go to anybody else was the second. And I know, for some reason, I didn't think Oklahoma was going to be the job that Matt Rhule would want. the prestige of the Notre Dame job. And again, they're both very prestigious jobs. I think the Notre Dame job makes sense for Matt Rhule, and the fact that it looks like multiple reports saying Marcus Freeman is the guy for the job. That was the job I was worried about losing him to, not Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's got a lot of guys who fit exactly what they want.
Think about Oklahoma this way, if you're Matt Rhule.
Dave Tepper.
If you think about, number one, the SEC has money. And as Oklahoma transitions into the SEC, if Matt Rhule is viewed as a disappointment in the NFL, where can you go save your coaching cachet? Go be a dominant player in the SEC. Huh? See what I did there?
704-570-9610. Northfleet narrative. All right, Alan.
That actually was a
Northfleet welcome narrative. To the show. What you burning on, my guy?
Yeah, hi. Enjoy your show, guys.
Appreciate it, Alan.
You were talking about LaMelo's shot last night and how he might have left a little bit of too much time on the clock. But I think he had to take it then because Milwaukee had a foul to give. And had they fouled him too soon, they never would have gotten the three-point shot off.
That's a really good point, man. I really do appreciate that, buddy. Have a good one, and thanks for the kind words.
By the way, should they have fouled Giannis instead of letting him drive with 6 seconds left and just put him on the line and make him make those?
All right, the only reason why that's an absolute yes is more time.
And that way, if he makes him, it gives you more time to come back down.
Yes. Because Giannis is...
Let me send him a text.
Because Giannis,
you dropped the ball, baby.
Judging by how he sounded yesterday, I don't know. It took us about... Usually, JB's just ready to party when he comes on with Nick and Stan. Yesterday, about five minutes into the interview, we pivoted to a fun topic to bring out our boy, JB. Itty bitty fitty, what you burning on, buddy?
Got a notification from Bleacher Report. Arkansas Pine Bluffs college basketball coach called a timeout.
Yeah.
To make his team run laps.
During the game?
I just want...
Hold on, this was during the game?
Yes, I believe so. I want the world to know that when I have little fitties and I am coaching them in basketball and they do not meet the standard, there will be timeouts called. They will be running laps during timeouts, during halftimes. But I wanted to ask, have you ever been at a sporting event and seen that actually happen?
No. I'm going to tell you what. First of all, file that fitting under things that only happen at HBCUs, because it doesn't surprise me that it happened at Arkansas Pine Bluff. Good Lord. But I remember one time, this was in high school, though. West Charlotte didn't play well against Rockingham and Richmond County.
Mm-hmm.
And the legend says Tommy Knotts, when they got back off the bus, he cut on the lights after just playing in a playoff game, and they practiced. That's crazy. I don't know how true that is, but I've had several folks on that West Charlotte team tell me about that.
Let me see here. What am I burning on? I had something, and then you... Oh, itty-bitty fitty. By the way, would your itty-bitty kids be called itty-bitty fitties? Is that what we would call them? Because they're itty-bitty versions.
That sounds like a mouthful.
Mighty itty-bitty fitties.
Why would they be mighty?
Mite.
Because they're itty.
Right, mites.
They're itty-bitty versions of itty-bitty fitty.
The mites.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't like that. That's another Northfleet narrative.
I just took a shot.
Too many. All right. I am burning on. I had it again.
Rap and music?
No. Yeah.
You being a terrible parent?
You guys have completely stymied me. I have no idea what I'm burning on.
This
now.
Is your conscience kicking in because you force your children to listen to explicit lyrics.
Your first mistake is thinking I have a conscience. I think that would be the first mistake that you made here.
Somewhere deep down in the crevices of your cerebellum is a decent man.
No. No, I think that's rejected like Mutombo. All right, guys, that does it for today's show. Big thanks to Itty Bitty Fitty and the future Itty Bitty Itty Bitty Fitties. Stan.
Yeah, man.
Been a minute since I've said this. Bye, Goma.
How about them?
God, now I kind of hope they lose just so we can have that conversation tomorrow.
Do you want us to both come in here ill for 4 hours on a Friday?
No, you won't come in ill. You'll come in grumpy.
I almost hit you with a no.
Don't do it. I'm burning on...
Are you still burning?
I'm burning on Colorado State firing Steve Adazio after 2 years because they never should have hired Steve Adazio. Pretty much everything Urban Meyer's touched since he left Ohio State has turned to bleep. And they pretty much just said, hey, Urban, who should we hire? I know a guy, my former OC, who just failed another school. Sure, let's fire... fire everybody at Colorado State. That's my new platform for 2021 into 2022. All right, guys, that does it for the show today. KB's coming up next. He will be talking some sports. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. But until then, Nick, for Itty Bitty Fitty, and Stan, with the hack song to come tomorrow and maybe a couple special appearances, we stay safe. And be good, Charlotte.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See you later!
Charmed, I'm sure.
That's all, folks.
Okay, bye.